good singing again. Well, if you take your Bible and open to Psalm 149. Psalm has a lot of chapters in it. So Psalm chapter 149. As I was reading through my Bible this past week, I came across this passage, and it was a real encouragement to me. And so then I felt the Lord wanted me to preach on this too. So 149, and we'll read 9 through 15 for our scripture this morning. Psalm 149. Did I say? I've been saying 149. Now switch to 144. 144. Now, there we go. I guess maybe I'm a little bit tired too. 144, verse 9, it says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Isn't that a neat passage? That just jumped off the pages at me, and I sure am glad to be an American. How about you? I am glad that God allowed us to have His blessing, to live in a country where we're free to worship and serve Him, a freedom for a pursuit of happiness, to have liberty. Did that come free? It came at a great cost. A lot of people sacrificed their lives for that freedom, and I just pray that God will guide us and that we'll seek Him, that we might continue to have that wonderful blessing that He has given us through these years. But the title of the message today is A Happy Situation Worth Considering. And so try to keep things lively so that lack of sleep won't affect you too much this morning. But a happy situation worth considering. Well, in Psalm 144, I was reading through the whole chapter, and you know, I see that it's one of the Psalms of David. Now, David was a great instrumentalist. He was a musician. He played the harp for the king. That's how talented he was before he actually became king himself. And so he was very talented on the music. It doesn't mean that sometimes people say, well, musicians have no other talents. Oh, no, that's not the case. And even in David's case, you know, he was a mighty warrior also. Remember how he fought Goliath? You ever hear the account? And that's not just a made-up story. That's the truth. And David fought Goliath. And so we see here, David, this man, he wrote this psalm. By the way, what's a psalm? We have Psalm 100. We all know about Psalm 119. That has all those verses in it. And all the different things. Well, a psalm is a psalm. And so here we have Psalm 144. Psalm of David, most likely written right after he had just had a victory in the battle with the Philistines. By the way, who remembers what nationality Goliath was? He was a Philistine. And so the Philistines had been a big thorn in the side of the nation of Israel. And so they were in constant battle with them. Every time things would smooth out, the Philistines would come and attack again. And God had just given David victory, or David and the kingdom there, because he's now king, given him victory over the Philistines, and he's just praising God. But you ever get tired of the battle? You ever get tired of, you know, how many of you like it when things go smoothly? Everything's going your way. That's where I like to be. But I have to tell you, it doesn't always work that way for me. If it does for you, let me know how that works. But anyway, here comes the battle. The enemy comes and attacks. God gives the victory. And David's heart now is tuned to praise God. And so we see that not only is it a psalm of David, but it's a psalm of praise. Praise to God from an attitude of gratitude. Isn't that neat? It rhymes. An attitude of gratitude. Wouldn't that make our homes a better place if everybody had an attitude of gratitude? Wouldn't that make our nation a better place if we had an attitude of gratitude? And you know, the kids wear those bands. You ever see the bands that have WWJD on it? What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? Why does they have that on? That's to remind us of, I'm going to be just like Jesus. And you know what? Jesus had an attitude of gratitude. that's an easy place to start, isn't it? And he says, in everything, give thanks. So that's not the message, but yet this attitude of gratitude was what was in David's heart, and it made all the difference in his life. David went through battles, through struggles, through trials. He had family problems. He had pressure from all sides. But you know what? His attitude of gratitude to the Lord never ceased. And because of that, he was blessed in his life and he had a fulfilling life. So we have a Psalm of David, a Psalm of praise, and a Psalm of reflection. A reflection of where our blessings really come from. You know, if you're going to be grateful, that means you're thinking about why I have what I have. Now, have you ever noticed that people have electronic devices today? I have a smartphone, and I was telling everybody how good that was. It kept me up on everybody's birthday and how smart I was for having a smartphone. And while I was going on and on about that, someone's birthday was right here in the congregation, and I missed it. And that blew that idea right to pieces. But, you know, we have all these electronic gadgets, and we have everything so easy that many times we just don't even thank God for the blessings we have. Remember when we didn't have telephones but in the house? Remember when they were on the wall and when you got in the car, no one could get a hold of you? And all those fine things. You know, modern conveniences are not always so good. But what's important is where our blessings come from. And that's what we want to look at. David's looking at it, and that's why it's a happy situation worth considering. I have to tell you, even though America has turned from God, and that's been evident in many of our decisions, as a nation, not everyone, but as a nation we have been turning from God, we're still seeing and reaping a lot of benefits. This is still, I would say, the best country in the world to live in. And so with that in mind, are you grateful for the nation and for what God has given you? So here's a psalm of David, and guess where it comes from? Gratitude comes from the heart. How about trying to think of a really cold thank you? What would be a good illustration of a cold thank you? You know, if your kids come up and say to you, love you, what do you think of that? Or if they came up and say, if you'll buy me this, I'll love you. Now, they wouldn't do that, would they? No, of course not. But if you don't get them what they want, sometimes I said, like, I hate you. I sure hope that they don't say that, but yet, that's how we work. We're kind of selfish, motivated and all. But when they come up and really appreciate you and they put their arms all the way around you and they give you a big hug and say, I love you, that makes anybody's day, doesn't it? I tell you what, my grandkids have this smile that they can put on and they're all different, but when they give me a smile, it's just like 100% raw energy. You ever get that? It's just like, ah, that makes me feel good. One came in this morning, and I said, you've got a smile for Grandpa. He needs some energy today. He gives me a smile, and boy, yeah, I feel good. You see, it comes from the heart. So where's your heart today? I'm hoping that your heart has a heart of gratitude, a heart of joy this morning, that your heart is considering and reflecting on what the Lord has done for you. I've got a few things this morning, three things. We see here this psalm is a psalm from the heart. We see that the psalm is a psalm of prayer. As he gets into it, you'll see he's praying. And then we'll also see that the psalm is a song. And then it's a song, psalm, with a purpose. Going to get tongue-tangled on this. But so let's look at the first one, a psalm from the heart. It is a psalm here in verse 1. It says, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Blessed be who? The Lord my strength. Well, now normally we say, bless me, O Lord. Isn't that what we like to say? Give me, give me, give me. And that's just kind of from our old fleshly nature. We want more. But when you're grateful for what someone has done, you give blessing and praise to them. And blessing the Lord, we talked about a couple weeks ago, is a special adoration, respect, and a love for Him and what He has done. What has God done for you? Some people might say, well, I don't know that God's done anything for me. I just want you to stop and think about what He has done. And maybe you don't realize that God loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world to live a life as a lowly human compared to what He had. He had all glory and honor. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. Do you know what it means to be the Sustainer? That means when you go, how many of you breathed in the last 5 minutes? All right, that's good because I know you're still with me. All right, that air, that breath, and that life that you have is a gift of the sustainer. But anyway, he gave his life so that we could have eternal life. If you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God has done a lot for us. If we don't see that he's done anything for us, it's because our attitude of gratitude has gotten out of whack and we aren't looking around and seeing what God has done. So here, he says, David says, my heart needs to recognize my God. He said, blessed be the Lord. How many of you could say that this morning? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many could say that from your heart? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He sure has done a lot for me. I hope that you can say that. He sure has for me. And that's why I wanted to bring this message. Blessed be the Lord. But look what it says. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. And that right off jumped off the page. And that means more maybe than anything else in this message today. How many of you have ever tried to do something and you were just totally wore out and exhausted and didn't know how you're going to make that next step? How are you going to meet this commitment? How am I going to do this? You know, like, I burned the midnight oil already. You know, I have to use toothpicks to keep my eyes open. I don't even have the energy to lift an arm, and I'm supposed to go do this? And so we go in there, and we take the toothpicks out, and we open them, and there's little red lines all over in there, and everybody goes like, how are you? And like, huh? And we're there to do our job, and we just don't have the strength to do it. And so we say, Lord, could you please help me? And you know what he does? He helps us. But that's not what this verse is saying. This isn't saying that God will help you. He will give you the strength. You didn't have to do it in your own strength and then get a booster shot. He was going to provide the strength to do the whole job if you just let him. I just want you to realize if you can get a close relationship with the Lord, you'll be surprised what he has for you. And David realized as a king, he could not lead those people. Matter of fact, at one time, David had gone to war with the Philistines, and as he came back home, the city where his family and all of his soldiers' families lived, and as they came back to the city, they saw smoke rising from the city. Now, smoke's a bad sign. It's not like out the chimneys, you know, or the wife's making homemade bread for you, because, of course, that would make soldiers happy, right? You know, the meal on the table, what's the way to a man's heart? Through his belly, right? You just have to admit that. But that wasn't the kind of smoke. Their houses had been burned. The gates were broken down. And as they came to the city, they realized that their families were no longer there. And as they went in, I can imagine each man, where would you run, men? If your city had been burned, you'd run straight home, wouldn't you? You want to see if your family was still okay. All of their families had been taken, had been kidnapped and taken captive by the defeating army. Nobody was there to protect their city. The men were so distraught and so discouraged that you know what they did? They said, David, you've been leading us all these years, and what should we do? That's not what they did. The Bible says that the men turned on David and said, it's all your fault. We've been following you, and as a leader, you've allowed our families to be taken captive. We're going to stone you. Now, if you were a leader, and you came home, and you found your family taken captive, and your city burned, and your home burned, and all of your friends' homes burn, and you were weeping for them and for yourself, and they say, it's all your fault, we're going to stone you. Now, how many of you would think that was a wonderful day? You'd be going like, hey, I lost my family too. But the Bible says David didn't have anyone to turn to. So the Bible says David strengthened himself in the Lord. I just want you to know that in the times of trial when there's no one around, that David went to the Lord, and you can too. And God will give you strength. Not supplemental strength. He will give you the strength. And that's why he said, blessed be the Lord, my strength. There's so much in that first verse. It's a whole message, isn't it? Blessed be the Lord, my strength. And then as he says, someone quoted this morning in Sunday school, John 15:5. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I just quoted that because you probably don't have your Bibles open, but most of us say, without me, you can't do much. But God says, without me, ye can do nothing. And just keep that in mind. Now, let's move along here. He says here, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know what? We do have to fight battles. A Christian life is not just a... Have you ever heard someone say, if you'll get saved, if you just trust the Lord and join our church, you won't have any more problems anymore. You know, you just give your money to our church and the Lord will just bountifully provide everything you have for your bills. Well, that is prosperity preaching and whatnot. That is not what God's Word says. But he does say that if we trust in the Lord, he will meet our needs. And so here, some people say, well, you're going to have nothing but rosy light from then on. I want you to know that once you become a child of God, the devil declares full war on you. So it's not all roses. There's some thorns on that life too. But God teaches my hands to war. He gives us the victory. Matter of fact, in Ephesians, it tells how. We're going to keep moving here because, you know what, we just don't have time to stay here. But I'm going to jump over to Psalm 18. If you want to turn there, it's not hard to find since you're in Psalms already. You can go back to chapter 18. But here's some of the things that David said God helped him to do. David was a soldier and a king and a shepherd. Now, how many of you love sheep? Every time I mention the word sheep around here, people usually get excited. There's some people here that raise sheep, but most of them say, I wouldn't have those things for anything. They're so ornery, they just die to be cantankerous and things like that. You know, I've heard all kinds of things about sheep. But David was a shepherd, so he had patience. And so as we go here, let me show you in Psalm chapter 18, verses 29 through 36. He says, for by thee I have run through a troop. Here David said, because of God's strength, he has enabled me to run through a troop. Does anybody know what that means? That means, here you are. You're a soldier, and you're in battle. And you look, and in between you and your buddies is the enemy. Now, what are you going to do? You have to fight your way through that troop. With God's help, he ran through that troop. Is that spectacular? How many of you would want to do that? But that's what he says. God has helped me to run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now, to us we go like, oh, big deal, he jumped over a wall. What was that? Well, in that day when they battled, the cities had walls around them. They were high fortified walls. And even if you could take a battering ram and start knocking them down, what happens when a wall comes down? You still have a lot of rubble. In God's strength, in other words, what he's saying here is God has protected me even in the midst of danger of enemies all around me. God has given me physical strength so that I could even jump over the wall in battle. He says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord, it's tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me up upon high places. And it goes on and it makes the exact quote of what he said in Psalm 144. But what he's saying here is God helps me physically and spiritually in my daily walk with him. So he's my teacher. So seven blessed truths here about God to come up. It says here, let me show you in verse 3. Or verse 2, I said, I'm sorry. My God is my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Here's what God had done for David. Can he do these for you? He's my goodness. What does the word goodness mean? Well, I looked it up. It means that he's favorable, kind, and merciful to me. Has God been that to you? Now, I'm getting smiles again because people realize, yes, God has been that to me. He's favorable to me. He's been kind and most definitely very merciful. So with David, I can go ahead and have an attitude of gratitude just for his goodness. But he said he's my fortress. What is a fortress? You guys that like military terms, what is a fortress? All right. Let's put it this way. Let's say you're on my army or we're together in war. All right. We're out here on the North Dakota Plains, and there's, let's say, 50 of us, and we see an advancing troop of 2,000. How many of you would feel comfortable standing here on the North Dakota Plains with nothing between you and them? Now, how many of you would feel better if we had a row of tanks across the front? All right, I'd feel better. In that day, they didn't have tanks. They had swords, arrows, spears, javelins, all kinds of weaponry like that, those things with the chains and the big old things, the bust heads and things like that. This was brutal. But the city would have walls around it. It was called a fortress. It was a place of safety. And that's where I would like to be, inside the fortress. And he's saying here that, you know what, even though in this world there's a lot of things that are trying to destroy us in our lives, God is our fortress. He says, I can depend on the Lord to protect me. He is my high tower. Now, a high tower was even better than the fortress because that went up higher, up in the wall, and you could sit up on top of there, and you could shoot down. They could shoot up, but it's a lot harder shooting up to a high tower than it would be to shoot down. And so you can just choop, choop. So now we are in a protected but offensive position in our Lord. He is the one that delivers us. He is my deliverer. In other words, he's the one that guarantees my safety. And when I looked up this deliverer thing, I was really shocked. It means to slip you out of danger. To slip you out. What does that mean? That means I'm fighting somebody like Paul, who's really big, and he's ready to squash me with his thumb, and someone yanks you out just as the old sword comes down. That means he's your deliverer. You couldn't deliver yourself, but he delivers you. He pulls you out of the dangerous situation. Has God ever done that for you, by the way? I could think of a lot of times where Christ has whipped me out of the dangerous situation. He's my shield. And I thought that was interesting, too, just a little research in that. Most of their shields were made out of a tough hide. I said, he's my alligator hide. You know, he gives you that tough skin to be able to take the things that come your way. He's my confidence. He's the one whom I can completely trust in, and he's my victory. Could David really say that? That God is my victory? You know, David knew that since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. You ever heard that term before? Just a little guy. Well, he fought Goliath at one time, you remember? Anybody know how tall Goliath was? Just real quick. How tall was he? 9'8". That's pretty tall. Anybody here know someone that's 9'8"? 9'9". I'm all right in there. I don't know anybody that big except Goliath, and, you know, I've never met him, and I'm glad I never met him. But anyway, if he was to walk into your school gymnasium, and he was to walk around, you know, I can just see him walking around the gym floor. Who wants to come down here and wrestle me? Talk about a wrestling match. And as he's walking by, he walks under the goal, and he's turned his head the wrong way. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to hook his head in that basketball net, because the basketball net is 9 foot. The rim's at 10. Right? I got my figures right, you sportsmen. Rim's 10 feet, bottom of the net's 9. If he's 9'8", 9'9", what's going to happen? And that's the 18-inch cubit, by the way. Sometimes they were longer. Could have been 24, which would have made him well over 10 feet. I don't think that I'd want to face this opponent. But you know what? David had been taking care of sheep. If he can take care of sheep, he can take care of anything, right? And David had learned to trust in God, taking care of sheep. A lion and a bear had come and attacked, and God had delivered them, him from them. And so when he came out to the battle that day against Goliath, by the way, did David go to fight Goliath? Anybody remember why David went to the battle zone in the first place? Yeah. To bring food to his brothers. You know, he was the young one supposed to be home taking care of sheep. And so here he comes. He's supposed to be taking care of his sheep. He has to hire someone to watch him. He goes to take his food to his brothers for his dad, because his dad said, I want you to go see how they're doing and take this food. He shows up at the camp. He gives special cheeses to the leaders in the army. He goes to see how his brothers are doing. And while he's here, he's just sitting there talking to folks, and all of a sudden he hears, I defy the God of Israel. I'm going like, what? 9'9", 9'8", 9'10", somewhere in there. Guy standing over there with his armor. I wonder if he didn't have one of those big helmets on, you know, with the old fluff up on top, just to make him look bigger, you know. Something sticking up there about 10 foot in the wind, you know, kind of just massive. Of course, he had all of his equipment with him, and he had an armor bearer, guy carrying a shield in front of him. He says, I defy the armies of God. If God is so powerful, why don't one of you guys come down here and fight me? But you know what the guys in the Israelite army were saying? Our God's powerful enough to whoop you, but he can't do it with me. Well, couldn't God help you win the battle? Why, sure my God could help me win the battle. Well, come on out and fight. Why not? Because I don't have confidence that he can win through me. Do you know what they were depending on? Their own strength. And maybe God could add some. David said, wait a minute, I can't beat him, but God can. So why won't you brothers of mine, you're my big brothers, go get them. That's what everybody wants. A situation like that. They got a Goliath to fight, and their little brothers tell them, you can do it, go get them. Quiet, quiet. You know, maybe the king will hear me and send me. Be quiet. So David says, what's the problem? Isn't there a cause? Doesn't this need to be taken care of? He said, I'd go fight him. Word gets King Saul. Hey, there's a guy here who says he'd fight Goliath. Really? Bring him here. David comes in. You said you were bringing someone to fight Goliath. Yes, I'm here. You can't fight Goliath. Yes, I can. Well, you're not a warrior. I was expecting a warrior. You're not a warrior. You can't fight Goliath. Yes, I can. How are you going to win? God. I can't fight Goliath. I guess you're right. God will. And I'm willing to go. There's a cause. He says, well, here, let me give you my armor. Puts his armor on David. He says, man, I've not tested this. I can't depend on this. This armor's not going to win the battle. This is going to make me a sardine when he crunches it in on me. He didn't say those words, but I can't take this armor. I haven't proved them. But I have proved the Lord. He took off the armor and he walks out to meet Goliath. Now, I don't know how tall David was. I know that he was a fairly tall young man. But he didn't measure up anywhere around 9'9", 9'8", 9'9", 9' in that area, did he? And so he walks out. Now, what do you think Goliath thought when he saw out comes this young man? He's not a warrior. He has no armor on. What's he carrying? Shepherd's staff? Got a packet of 5 stones in his pocket, in a deal, and a sling. Why has he got 5 stones? Well, we don't know that, but we do know he had 4 brothers. Maybe if they came after him, they were going to get it too. But he only needed one, because why? God's on his side. So he comes out, and he's walking up to Goliath, and Goliath looks at him, and just like the world does, it mocked him. Now, I don't like to be mocked. I don't know about you, but it hurts. You know, they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I have to tell you, that's not so. Words hurt too. He says, well, who are you? What do you think? I'm some animal? You're going to come out here with a stave? I'm a warrior. Wake up while you still have a chance. So I'm going to cut you up and I'm going to feed you the birds. David says, no, you won't. Huh? No, you won't. What did David actually say? 1 Samuel chapter 17. You want to see the actual words of David. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, what? That David is a mighty warrior? You know, it says that the whole earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I just want you to notice something here. David said, I'm fighting the battle for the Lord, and he's the one that wins the victories. Do you know what? America could have every type of military weapon on hand, but safety is of the Lord. And we need to realize that God has protected us divinely over the years. And so that's what David said. You know what? The victory is not mine. It's God's. He walked out there. He took that sling. Now, where would you aim? Helmet? Coat, plate of steel or brass on his chest. Got a guy in front of him with a shield. Might hit his big toe. He had greaves on his shin, so you couldn't hit there. Where am I going to hit this guy? Forehead. Got a little spot right there. Right in that fancy decoration of the helmet. I don't know. There it is. Lord, you going to win this battle? I'll sling the stone. Goliath didn't even know what hit him. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. David didn't even have a sword. He had to use Goliath's own sword to finish the job. You know what? The battle is the Lord's. That sure takes the pressure off. If David went out there with his armor and said, I'm going to have to defeat this guy. Now let's see. How do you use the sword again? Okay, remember this. If he goes like this, you go like this. If he goes like this, you go like this. Oh, how am I going to remember all these moves? You know, how am I going to remember the counter moves? And then, you know, even if I defend off his blows, I'm going to have to get a blow in there sometime because I think he's going to outlast my strength. But he didn't say that, did he? He says, this is God's battle. And I'm trusting in him. Is there any importance to this? Yes. This is a psalm from his heart. He says, God is my deliverer. I know that in here. I've known that for years. And I'm going to depend on that from now on. And I challenge you, do you know that in your heart? As Jesus Christ in your heart, have you received him as your Savior? And are you depending on him? Now I want to move along to the second one. This is a psalm of prayer. A prayer of appreciation and humility. Look at verse 3. He says, here's Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Oh, what a verse. Or the son of man, that thou makest account of him. Account. Lord, why do you notice me? You guys watched you couldn't see any stars last night, could you? We've got this. Did you see some? Really? Wow, because it's been so hazy, you know, and I haven't been able to see them. And I love to see the stars in North Dakota. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'd like to sit out on the farm and just look up and see the whole sky just bright with stars. And it's just an amazing thing. And as you look up at those stars, you can always think about this. There's a creator who created all those, and he's looking down at us. And if you were to stop and think about it, if you were up, let's say, at the sun, how big would the earth look? And then if you were to look on the earth and you try to find North Dakota from there, how big would we look? Well, North Dakota is the best state in the United States and the best place in the whole world, so I could probably pick that out, right? Now, if you were to look into North Dakota and you'd find just little old me, would that be hard? Do you think I'm kind of insignificant now when you look at it like that? God made the whole universe. In the span of the universe, where does our galaxy fit in? Those of you who know astrology, could you see our galaxy? You see what the deal is? He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But yet he gave his life for us. I just can't even get it. I put down here, why does God even take time to think about me? But he does. And I put down, why would God place any value on me? No one else does. But he does. And I put down here, without God, my life would just be a vapor. And it wouldn't have any purpose or value. But because of God, it does. And so he says, Lord, I have my prayer of humility and now a prayer of expectancy. In verses 5 and 6, he says, bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. God's power is awesome. Have you noticed that? Someone was telling me they were up in New Rockford and they watched the fireworks display there. I watched one here in Carrington. Really enjoyed that. But you know what? God had some bigger fireworks. Did you see them last night? Kind of makes ours look puny, doesn't it? Just a little show of the power of God. It's almost, God's got a sense of humor. He says, that was a good fireworks display, guys. Now watch this. That's my God. So, do you have a heart and a relationship with God? Do you pray to the God who cares so much about you? And lastly, he said, there's a song in my heart, verse 9. He said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. I just want you to take a note of this for just a moment. What kind of a song is he going to sing to God? It's a new song. I looked that word up and it means fresh. Something different. Something made just for them. If you go out and get a new car, do you ever get one with a nameplate on it? Designed specifically for? I always get the used ones, you know. And I've gotten a few cars that had the plate in them. I don't know if you custom order one from the dealership, you know, you just don't go down to the dealership and get, but you custom order one. A lot of times they'll put a plate in there, custom made and designed for, and they'll put your name in there. Pretty neat. Everybody's looking at me blank stares. We must not have gotten one of those. But anyway, they made this thing just for you. A lot of people like to take the old stuff of the world and give it to God, but I think he's worthy of the best, don't you? And David said, you know what? I'm making a new song, something special, just for him. I just want my song to praise him. He said, I will sing praise unto thee, O God. A lot of people sing to themselves. You ever notice that some of the songs that you hear are all about me? Maybe the song should be all about who? All about the Lord. And so David said, that's the kind of music I want. I want God's kind of music. Music that's going to praise him and not bring glory to me. Music that's pleasing to a holy God and not my flesh. So there's that new song. Are you singing a song to the Lord? I used to work at a local business here in town, and I like to whistle. How many of you like to whistle? That's something I used to hear in North Dakota all the time. You know, the farmers would go around whistling. People would just be whistling about their business. And I kind of picked that up. I like to whistle. And so I'm whistling around in the store, in the place, and the boss would say, "Someone shoot that bird." Maybe my whistling isn't so great. I don't know. But it always struck me. But you know what? That whistling comes from where? It comes from the heart. Do you have a song in your heart? Joy to your Lord. So the first one was a song in my heart of praise and a prayer. And then we saw the song that's new. A song just for Him. So in conclusion, a psalm with a purpose. You know, there's three reasons to seek God's will in our lives. He gives us deliverance from the world. And you see what He was asking for in verses 12, 13, and 14? A nation whose eyes are focused on God get these blessings. Look at verse 12. He says, "I'm praying, Lord, that our sons may be as plants growing, grown up in their youth." What does that signify to you, a growing plant? We're farmers. What do you think of when your plants aren't growing? We're in trouble. But what's a growing plant to you? Healthy, vibrant, right? That's what we like to see. And that's what we want. We want prosperous young men, vibrant, honorable, with valuable lives. Godly young men. It says that our daughters may be as cornerstones. Now, cornerstones doesn't sound too special for a lady. Are you a cornerstone? Ooh, that sounds like a corner. But look what it says. As cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. What kind of a wall would you find in a palace? Beautiful. So picture here. David's palace took 11 years to build. He had hired so many people to work on it that they had to take shifts. They rotated and they worked on and off. And the stones were all polished, and most of it, a lot of it was marble. It was polished to perfection. And that cornerstone on his palace would just sparkle from a huge distance away. Just beautiful. That cornerstone pictures two things, strength and beauty. Do we want our young people to be vibrant, prosperous, stable, and beautiful? Yes, we do. And that's what God provides in a godly life. Secondly, He says in verse 13, that our garners may be full according to all manner of store. What are garners? You know, these are just terms that we've used in the time past, but a garner means like your grain bins, right? How many of you like your grain bins to be full when it comes time to sell? You know? And the more load you have to haul, the better, right? We want our garners to be full. In other words, the food in the cupboards, if you're not a farmer. Stuff on the grocery shelves. And by the way, I want you to know that America's been blessed. And I know we don't have an Alco in Carrington anymore, and so now we're just really suffering. All right? But you know what? You go into most countries and you get into a store, and they are excited if they have the basic needs. They would call that full garners, full cupboards. But if you notice here in the rest of the verse, it says that afford all manner of store. That means there's variety. You know, I go to like Walmart. You ever go to Walmart? You know, maybe you're too wealthy to go there. But if you go to Walmart like I do, and you go there and you look on the shelf and you try to pick shampoo. My wife says, "Pick yourself out some shampoo." I said, "I'm out of shampoo." "Well, pick yourself out some. I got something else to find." And I'm going like, why can't this be men's shampoo, lady shampoo? Or, you know, men's shampoo, one bottle, lady shampoo. They can have the rest of the aisle. You know, it's fine. But here we have millions of choices. That's what it's talking about there. Not only do you have what you need, but you've got choices. Isn't that great? And then I get in there and I have one particular kind I always use, and that's sold out. And then I'm, oh, great. Now what do I pick? I almost start to complain, but aren't we blessed? That's what he's saying, that our garners may be full and that we have all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands. Bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Now, those of you who don't like sheep, what he's saying here is, Lord, help us to be prosperous. And God's the one that gives prosperity. Has America been prosperous? So why do we want to forsake the God who's given us that? in economic success and prosperity. The next one in verse 14, it says here, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breakings in. Now, our stocks, oxen may be strong to labor. How many of you have a team of oxen? Got all these farms out here. None of you guys carry oxen? You guys, any of you have a green ox? That's the kind of a red ox. John Deere, International. I don't know what you run. Ford, whatever. I'm not going to get into a fight now of what's better or anything, am I? But anyway, how many of you like your tractor to run? Can God keep our tractors operating? Well, I never thought of that before. You give your time to the Lord, He can see to it that those things keep on pulling. You know, I'm glad we don't have to have oxen. What about you? Put some gas in the tank, do some maintenance, and hit out there. Be better than following an ox around. Of course, you get a break once in a while when they give out. But nonetheless, strong oxen. And then it says, there be no breaking in. That has to do with war. In America, in our lifetime, how many of you have had to suffer because of war? Anybody here? Hardship in here because of war? You know, we've been blessed in America. We haven't had a war on our home turf in a long time. That's been a real blessing, if you stop and think about it. Has God protected America? Very much so. There haven't been people coming in. How many of you had a foreign soldier, the troops come through and take everything out of your house and abuse you? You know what? We don't even know what that would be like. That's because God has blessed, and that's what He's saying here. Would You give us peace, dear Lord? Would You protect us, and that there be no going out? Going out means going into captivity. We haven't had any of that either. God has truly blessed. You realize that all of these things here we have, and they are all a blessing of our God? I just wanted to point that out. I didn't want to lose your attention today, and I know you're tired, but can you see that, how God has blessed our nation? And then look at the last one. I just want to see this one. It says that there be no complaining in our streets. Now, how come everybody's laughing and I get all kinds? I've got a whole different of emotion. If we have all this, should we have complaining in our street? But do we? So what are you telling me? Is it possible that even though God has blessed us so much, we've forgotten where it's come from and we don't have an attitude of gratitude? What David is saying here is, God, You've been so good to us. Please help us to remember that and to keep our lives and our nation in tune with You so that You can continue to bless, so that we might continue to experience these wonderful blessings You've provided. Can that fit for America today? I think it fits very strongly for today. And so, happy is that people that is in such a case. Are we in that case? We are. We are so blessed. We should be happy. And it says, but happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know what we just did earlier before the service? We stood and we put our hands across our hearts, at least I did, and we saluted the American flag and I said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. We said, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. My attitude of gratitude says God made us what we are. Do you know anybody that's trying to remove God from our pledge? From our schools? From our country? From our lives? We, the people, are America. We allow that to happen, God can no longer bless. Is that the message? No, it's not. The message is your heart. Because I can't change anybody else, can you? But I can have an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for me. And when that comes out, that's what God blesses. America is made of what? Individuals like you and like me. I hope that was an encouragement to you, because God has truly blessed, hasn't He? Now, I know there's a lot of somber faces because you say, yeah, but I know where our country's going. But you know what? Where you go is the direction of you. And we can go in the direction that God has for us. Do we have an attitude of gratitude? Let's go ahead and close in hymn of invitation. Hymn number 397. What's a hymn of invitation, Pastor, while you're looking up 397? Well, that's an opportunity, if the Lord spoke to your heart, for you to come down and kneel at the altar if the Lord has spoke to your heart. Or maybe you say, I've never received Jesus Christ as my Savior. What's this about God in my heart? We'll be glad to show you from God's Word. If you'll come forward, we'll just show you. And you can have Him in your heart too. Let's stand. Sing 397.
Lord bless you through this week. I hope to see you back this evening. Make sure you get that nap in if you can. And don't forget to grab these. Any of them that are left after today are worthless, so just take a good handful and pass out what you can. All right, let's go into a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you and thank you so much for all you've given us. Lord, you've been such a blessing to me, and I know you've been a blessing to others here today too. Lord, you've been a blessing to our nation. Can I say thank you once again? And Lord, may we yield our lives to you, and as a church body, Lord, may we do much for you, and that you would protect this country and allow us to continue to serve or to serve you and to have the freedoms that we've had for so many years. Lord, blessed be the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen.